I want you to imagine that an ad was written by me. I mean, it was just a brilliant ad, a brilliant headline, a brilliant copy. It just flowed, et cetera, and it was about knitting machines. Now, I'm guessing that most of the people on this call don't knit very often, unless Rosie Greer's on the call. I don't think you knit very often. And it wouldn't make any difference how much skill I used to write that letter. But let's take another scenario. Let's say that you're married, and for some reason you have to be away from your wife. You can't be at the hospital. And while you're gone, your wife gives birth to triplets. And some guy comes up to you, and he's trying to communicate to you that your wife just has triplets. But his grammar is screwed up. His English is faulty. But is there any way he could communicate to you that your wife just had triplets that wouldn't be of interest to you? That's the difference between world-class response and all this mediocre stuff. It's knowing what's important to people. You know, you could write in Pig Latin that your wife just had triplets. And you could be Shakespeare writing about the knitting machine. It wouldn't make any difference. You've got to know what's important to people. I didn't get very far before I stopped my rant, so I'll try a little harder this time.
That was a perfect explanation. Actually, Gary, I use that explanation when people ask me that question.
What we should do with that question, anybody that asks that question, if they're in public, they should be slapped right across the mouth. There shouldn't even be any discussion.
Or you should send them your cousin Guido.
Yes, or send Guido.
I have somebody commented about that, and we had a post on like copywritersboard.com. Somebody said, I value my legs too much. I got to be on this call. Here's what I usually say.
By the way, that brings up another thing.
Sure.
Everybody in marketing, almost, is afraid to have a personality. That's what you need to have, a personality. You know, and everybody's trying so hard not to offend somebody. I believe what Dan Kennedy says, if you haven't offended somebody by noon, you're not a pro. You know, look, I have what I call the Boy George, John Wayne theory of marketing. You know, Boy George has his fans, and John Wayne has his fans. Now, never the twain shall meet. Some people like big macho guys that mow down Japanese people with machine guns, and other people like sexually confused singers who wear dresses. There's nothing wrong with either of them, but never the twain shall meet. And the thing about Boy George and the thing about John Wayne is they give you something to say yes or no to, don't they? You know, stop this nonsense of trying to please everybody. You can't do it. You give away thousands of dollar bills and you can't do it.
I think you said something in a seminar not too long ago or quite a while ago, I can't remember exactly when, but you said about people are so preoccupied about selling to the foxes without upsetting the dogs.
Oh, yeah, I said that when I wrote that personal ad that got me women from all over
mm-hmm.
the world. There were a lot of fat, ugly women with mustaches that were offended by my ad. And I said I didn't worry about offending the dogs. I concentrated on selling the foxes. And that's something you people should take to heart. Let's see how long I can go before I start another rant. Try a question.
That's a perfect explanation. I just want to add my little comment is that I usually tell people, if you were a Stephen King fanatic, and the fact that you are a Stephen King fanatic, that means you are a person who is targeted for Stephen King books. Stephen King puts out a book, and it's 800 pages thick. Are you not going to buy it because it's too long?
No.
Of course not. And not only that, you'll probably buy it, sit down, read it all in one single reading because you just absolutely love the stuff. You probably wish the book was either longer or you will reread the whole book again because it's so fascinating. And that's the key, is the fact that there's a difference between boring copy and long copy. Actually, I tell people there's a difference between long copy and long-winded copy.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. I'm going to take credit for that, though.
You sure can, Gary.
There'll be a point in time where I'll forget you said it. I'll take credit for it. That's a great way to put it, Michael.
Well, there's another question that's sort of tied to that, Gary. One of the questions that was asked was, what's the difference between, or how can you write copy that's more, that's cleaner, that's less hypey? Because a lot of people say they see a lot of hypey copy these days, especially online. So how can you tell the difference between, you know, copy that's hypey? How can you write copy that's not as hypey, and for whom? And how do you make sure that you don't just tell outright lies?
Well, first of all, hypey copy is used by people who really don't know what they're writing about. And if they don't know what they're writing about, the more adjectives there will be in the copy. If you have a lot of compelling facts, you don't need hype. Now, hype has a place, I think, but it is not nearly where you think it should be. If you'll study the masters like Claude Hopkins or stuff, you won't say that's hypey copy. But the best letters, the best sales messages are really hard-hitting and dramatic without using all those adjectives. And the people are using the adjectives in place of substance. And that's the problem with most sales writing today. People don't do their homework. You know, they don't fill it up with substance. And if you have a lot of substance, you don't need a lot of hype.
Well, actually, that's a perfect lead into the next question is, what are the biggest mistakes you see copywriters commit?
The biggest mistake that copywriters commit is they don't know how to do what they're doing.
That's well said.
And they don't study. I'm going to tell you a few things that there are a lot of ways to write a sales letter, and this is not the only way, and it is not the only good way. But it's the way John Carlton does it, and it's the way I do it. We write the bullets first. Because the only reason that people buy what you're selling from an ad, for the most part, is because of the quality of the bullets. Now, I have an ad in front of me that has, it's for a book I wrote called Killer Orgasms, How to Have the Best Sex Humanly Possible. It has 64 bullets in it. And about 14 of those bullets would be irresistible to me. But the point I want to make is a lot of people will buy something in a 14-page sales letter because they want to know the answer to one bullet. Now, I wrote a bullet for Entrepreneur Magazine one time, and this was back in the 80s when everybody was doing cocaine, and I wrote, fake cocaine, colon, a legal substitute that fools everyone, even the experts. And do you know that for years, people were calling in to get that product just to find out what the hell that was? And I mean, it was buried in 150 other bullets. Now, this the promo for this sex book contains 60 bullets, but I'm going to read the ones that I would want to know if I didn't know the answer. There's very few of them. The real reason why Prozac and Zoloft are so popular in this country. Almost no one, even doctors, understands the startling sexual implications. The single biggest sexual complaint women have about men. The single biggest sexual complaint men have about women. Now, I put a star by this one. A dead giveaway which proves a woman is faking her orgasms. Okay, I have to go to another. I'm skipping over a bunch, which I don't think. What lesbians know about sex, which men don't, and why more men today are losing their women to other women. The single most important thing a woman can do to make herself more attractive to the opposite sex. The single most important thing a man can do to make himself more attractive to the opposite sex. And this is the bullet, I believe, gets more people than anybody else, than any other bullet, to buy the book. Three surefire ways to tell if your spouse or significant other has had sex with someone else in the last 24 hours. the number one rule, which absolutely must be observed for women to have a truly spectacular orgasm. Okay, and then there's a whole bunch of bullets I don't have a star by. Flirting secrets used by almost all women that 95% of men don't even recognize, and how it instantly gets them, makes sex 10 times more exciting when he does learn to recognize and understand these little-known secrets. The one best way to win the true undying love of a member of the opposite sex. I'm skipping over some of these because I'm considering this a PG call. A 15-minute change in the way you shower and dress, which may very likely double your attractiveness to the opposite sex. I'll skip that one. How to guarantee your lover almost never stops thinking about you, and how to make her thoughts are supercharged with passion and white-hot smoldering anticipation. A very important but almost unknown trick which will end nagging on both sides of the relationship forever. Then there's a bunch more bullets I haven't X'd, and we come to one. The single most important thing a man can do to win a woman's love forever. The most important and most little-known quality a man must have if he wants to acquire a truly desirable woman and have any chance of success. Women will overlook everything except this. Okay, I have nothing else starred, but there's something really, really important about these bullets. None of them were hypey. And all of them are based on truth. And what you've got to know is you've got to know the truth. Now, if there are some women on this call, and there are listening to it with a man, you watch the woman when I tell the secret to the bullet, and they'll nod their head yes. Okay, a dead giveaway which proves a woman is faking her orgasms. Do you know what that is? When women have orgasms, they always curl their toes. They can't help to do it. They can't help not do it. Okay, three surefire ways. How about if we just change that? One surefire way to tell if your spouse or significant other has had sex with someone else in the last 24 hours. Is there any hype in that? There's no hype in that at all, is there?
No.
But isn't that something you would really like to know? The one sure way to tell if your woman's had sex with another man in the last 24 hours? Well, there is a way. And I'm going to tell you what it is. And you'll say, aha, as soon as I explain it to you. Let's suppose you or your wife or girlfriend is having an affair with somebody in the office. They leave the office, go to a motel, and they have sex. What's the first thing they do after they have sex? They take a shower. They take a shower to remove the evidence. They remove the makeup residue, the lipstick on the collar, the scent of the other person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if your spouse or significant other is all of a sudden coming home freshly showered at times where she wouldn't be, like she wasn't at the gym or at a ballet class or nothing, the reason that she's taking those showers is to remove the evidence of an affair. Well, the thing is, what I'm trying to point out to you is these things are facts. And I've twisted them into bullets. And these are called blind bullets because I don't give away the secret. The number one rule, which absolutely must be observed for a woman to have a truly spectacular orgasm. And we're going to stop talking about sex here, folks, because I know some of you are shriveling up. But you know what that number one rule is? The woman has to feel absolutely safe. There's another one I like here. The one best way to win the true undying love of a member of the opposite sex, especially a woman. You know what that could be? I'll tell you what it is. Small, unexpected gifts. Not gifts that you give her for her birthday, not gifts for the wedding anniversary, just small, unexpected gifts that are special unto her. Like, you know, she likes to collect these little clay Peruvian figurines, and you seek out and find one. It might cost you $5, and you have it delivered to her with flowers, unexpectedly, out of the blue. And she will love you for that. And then there is one that it's not so much about sex as it is about relationship. And I'm gonna put on my relationship counselor hat here. And it says, a very important but almost unknown trick which will end nagging on both sides of a relationship forever. Oh, my girlfriend and I, actually she's my fiance, is a woman who has the best heart I've ever met. She's also, at least to me, the most attractive woman I ever met. And I made a deal with her when we first started going out together 4 years ago, and I've never broken that deal. And she cannot imagine that a man would make such a deal with her. And here it is. The deal is, if I do anything that offends you or irritates you, you will only have to tell me about it once, and I will never do it again. Now, my girlfriend's Costa Rican, for example. Everybody in Costa Rica, they never eat with a hat on. So I take my hat off when I eat. Very simple thing. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to let this woman tell me I can never go out on one of my boats again or something like that, or I have to change my profession. But, you know, the thing is, if you do things that irritate your loved one, and they're pretty easy to quit, most of them. You know, let's say that every day you come in the door and you take off your coat and you throw it on the floor. And it irritates the hell out of her. Just don't do it anymore. We have a contract with each other that we never do something that the other one expresses that causes them consternation. We never do it twice. And everybody can do that. But yet that made a great bullet. But behind that great bullet was a great truth. So I didn't have to use any hype to write this ad. Because do you understand? I was searching out strong truths, exciting truths, and then writing those exciting truths. And I didn't have to say a really killer way to have an explosive, mind-blowing relationship, you know, that sucks the air out of the room and then blah, 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 blah. You just make a simple statement of what that is. Now, when you write the app, you should... I would suggest to all of you, start working on your bullets first. Because if you're, you know, everything about the bullets, your whole piece is about the bullets. That's what it's about. And the rest of the piece is to get them to attract their attention to read the bullets and to attract their attention to, or to get them to believe the bullets. That's the only purpose of the rest of your letter. Actually, although there's a headline. For example, I worked for Sam and Leslie Fishbein. They had one furniture store in Denver. They've got either 5 or 7 now. And they only have certain, you have what you have to sell, and that's all you have. So what they had is a wide selection of furniture, low prices, no money down, no interest, 2 years to pay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What they had was what they had, and we call it the yada, yada, yada. That's what they got to sell. But the difference is, if you want to make it killer, you give the reader theater and reason why. Now, theater would be attaching a dollar bill to the top of the letter as a grabber. Oh, do you understand that? That would be theater. Theater would be attaching a real photograph to the top of the letter, or attaching a coin, or something like that. A reason why is why you're getting such a deal on this mattress. And one of the letters that we wrote told them that they got such a great deal on this mattress because we couldn't sell them on retail. Although the mattresses are perfect, we couldn't sell them at retail because the manufacturer screwed up and sewed the labels on backwards. That letter worked so well, we had the manufacturer sew the labels backwards on all the mattresses. And, you know, and or we would say that, you know, it's been raining here lately, and we've got water damage on some of the furniture. And Sam would go up in the roof and drill a hole in it so that some of the water came down and screwed up some of the furniture. It's a variation, if you haven't read the Robert Collier book, of the scratch and dent cell. And that was the reason why. That's the first thing I described to you was theater. The second thing I described to you is reason why. But it all gets them to, when they read the yada, yada, yadas, to believe it and to understand it. By the way, I'd like to give a little bit of a pitch here.
Go ahead, Gary.
If I had to win a copywriting contest or one of my children would die, the person I would least like to have as my opponent is a man named Gary Benzavinga. And he publishes Benzavinga's Bullets, and they are free. And if you don't read those, you are missing a monster asset.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And the last bullet he wrote was about one of the most important words in advertising, which is because. And he articulated it better than anybody I've ever heard. And Gary Benzavinga and I have had a mutual fan club respect for each other for years. And one of my proudest moments is every Thanksgiving he sends a big 1 ounce gold coin to somebody that's made a big difference in his life. And I got one of those coins, you know. It's one of my most precious possessions. And I'll tell you one further story about Gary Benzavinga. Jay Abraham came to me, and he was showing me these financial sales letters that people were using to sell financial newsletters, et cetera. And I said, Jay, these things are working? Because I never knew anything about that field yet. And he said, why, yeah, you think you could do better? I said, Jay, I could do better than this in a coma. And I just cranked these out, one right after another, never had a loser. It was easy. It was falling down a log. And then I was sitting in my apartment, Oakwood Gardens apartment in Burbank, California, and I read my first letter ever written by Gary Benzavinga, and I almost vomited. You know why? Because vacation time was over. From now on, I had to work for a living when I was writing those things, because he's so damn good, it's ridiculous. So, and he's going to have a seminar
in May.
In May, and get your ass to that seminar. I'm going to pay to go there and be there. I mean, there are very few people for whom I will sit at the feet and learn, but I will sit at the feet for Gary Benzavinga. I know I don't have a JV deal with him.
I definitely will be there myself. It's you know, if people want to subscribe to his newsletter, it's BenzavingaBullets.com. And the last one was exactly about that, the use of reasons why and the one word that can trigger the most response. And it was one of the questions that was asked a lot on that webpage that we set up, Gary. And that leads me to a couple of things I wanted just to throw in here. You know, a lot of people ask, what kind of scarcity tactics do you like to use? Because a lot of people nowadays, especially online, they go and visit this website that sells some kind of ebook that says, you've got to buy before X date, and people know that they've got this coding behind there that changes with every day whenever they visit the web page. So they say, are there
any... Well, first, everybody knows that's a lie, and I don't think that you should write lies. Everybody knows if you say you'll only sell 500 and people order 700, you're going to take the other 200 orders. So stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're talking about scarcity, you know, for your copywriting services, be good. There won't be any scarcity. You know, I remember Denny Hatch used to write a newsletter called Who's Mailing What? And he mocked guys like me and Gary Benzavinga, who said we couldn't take any more clients, that we were booked for a year. Hell, Gary Benzavinga would be booked for 2 or 3 years in advance, the bastard.
So is there, are there any other scarcity tactics, Gary, that you would like to propose?
Well, I'll tell you one, and it's an important one that I use, but it also, the tactics need to be based on truth. I tell people I can only take so many clients, and that's the truth. I only can. You know, I mean, I could write continually, but I like to take time out to see my girlfriend and my grandchildren once in a while, you know? So that the scarcity tactic, first of all, don't lie about it, because but I'll tell you one thing that I have learned to offer people. If you buy something from me, like a fairly expensive set of tapes that I have to sell, you know what you get with it? You get free access to me for an entire year to answer your marketing questions. They can't duplicate that on eBay.
Great. Good answer. Actually, one of the things that I wanted to go back on was the bullets, because one of the most common questions I've gotten is, Gary, a lot of the copy that you write, you seem to alternate your bullets between bold and unbold and so on and so forth.
It's a technique that provides eye relief.
Gotcha. Perfect. In terms of the headline, and I believe truly myself that the single greatest part of your copy, besides the bullets that you just mentioned, Gary, the single greatest part is the headline.
The headline is the single greatest part of the copy. By the way, I've got a great headline. I want somebody to help me fill in what comes after. Half-dead Cuban washes ashore in Miami with strange secret that can double the income of most U.S. citizens.
Awesome.
You know what the hottest headline I ever wrote was?
Well, that was one question. Go ahead.
Tova Borgnine swears under oath that her new perfume does not contain an illegal sexual stimulant. and the whole city of Los Angeles was saying, is the sexual stimulant legal? And we got 7,000 people to come out for her perfume launch, the biggest perfume launch in history, and we couldn't get any more in because the fire marshals wouldn't let any more people into the Century Plaza Hotel.
Wow.
And one of the subheads was, wife of famous movie star agrees to give away 1,000 samples of her new fragrance in order to prove it's really safe to wear in public. Little theater there.
Well, here's a question, actually, it was based on that. Question was specifically for Gary Halper. Do you think in this extremely cynical age that your traditional Tova Borgnine style promotions are still valid?
that question is almost too moronic to answer. What I do was valid when people were carving out their messages on a chisel, on a piece of stone, and they will be valid 2,000 years from now, when everybody is getting text messages on microscopic cell phones embedded into your brain. Selling is selling is selling, and it's all the same. The internet hasn't changed anything about selling. Let me tell you about selling. There's only three things involved. You have a product, a pitch, and a delivery system for the pitch. All the internet is a delivery system for a pitch. That's what you need to remember. And people say, writing for the internet, and I know you do that. It's no different than writing for the newspapers, which is no different from writing for direct mail, which is no different than writing from television. What makes a good pitch is what makes a good pitch. And let me tell you guys what you're all doing wrong, all the online community. Everybody's doing this wrong. You try and get something from the reader before you have delivered a lot of value he can't get anyplace else. I would venture to say I have one of the most profitable websites on the internet. And I, honest to God, put that website up after I had received thousands and thousands and thousands of letters from people telling me how my life had changed, how my information had changed their lives. Mostly it was about money. But sometimes it saved them from committing suicide. It inspired them to go on and make it. It saved their marriage or whatever. And I thought, well, hell, if it's that valuable to people, I'm just going to start throwing it up on the Internet. And, you know, I just started putting them up. And after about 2 or 3 months, people started writing me and said, don't you have anything to sell? I want to buy something from you. And they started working. The last time I sent a full-fledged newsletter out, my Alexa rating, you know, jumps up and down, whether I'm putting stuff on the site or not. It was 1,630. And I don't even know how to link my website to somebody else. I don't even know how to work Google AdWords. I know a little bit about that. I don't even know how to maximize the effectiveness of a website. I don't know any of that stuff. You know why my newsletter is so popular? Because it contains content. And a lot of you dorks out there are trying to make a lot of money without first figuring out how to serve people.
Good point.
I get riled when I talk. I talk about sex and politics this way, too. Actually, I don't.
Well, here's another, and you've probably nailed about a good 50 questions right there, Gary. But one of the questions about the headline was, you know, a lot of people say, they've seen so many of these very long headlines. First of all, are they still effective, and what kind of formula do you use whenever you write a headline?
Well, okay, I'm going to try and get down to the level of somebody who would ask such a question. I can get down to anybody's level. I just give myself a lobotomy here and lower my IQ about 70 points. Yes, long headlines are effective. Let me give you a few tips about headlines. If you're stuck, just start with the words how to. You know, how to, and by the way, if you want to learn to write headlines, every one of you should have a copy of, I could never get it right, Julius Hadelman or Hadelman's Julius, The First 100 Million.
Right.
That's
right.
The basis of all good headline writing in America. Read The First 100 Million and you'll know everything you need to know for the rest of your life about writing headlines. And yes, long headlines do work, Patricia. Short headlines work, too. You know, for example, you'll see little ads, and it will just say, corns, question mark. Everybody's going to pass by that little ad unless they happen to have corns. And that's all it needed was that one word. You know, I mean, if you're dealing with a junkie, you can say, want to score some heroin? Question mark? That's long enough. But most of you probably aren't dealing with people who have corns or the addict market.
And I think John Carlton, whenever he says a great word, he says he calls it pithicizing, which is a big difference between being brief and being pithy, because there's a difference between trying to be short and not saying the message that you need to say, rather than saying the message that you said that you can say to the right kind of people in the shortest amount of words possible. And a lot of people, sometimes they have these very long headlines that are just, you fall asleep. And I agree with that, because you just don't know how to write copy. But I've written headlines.
By the way, I'll tell you one of the big differences between the people who really make it in this business and the people who don't. The people who make it buy everything that's out there, buy every good guy there. You should have everything John Carlton ever produced.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.